From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another program of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns concludes a message entitled, What It Means to Hallow the Lord's Name, part of this series of studies in the Lord's Prayer. Before Dr. Cairns comes, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Today's selection is entitled, The Life-Giving Stream. The text is found in Ezekiel chapter 47 and verse 9. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. The living waters in the prophet's vision flowed into the Dead Sea and carried life with them, even into that stagnant lake. Where grace goes, spiritual life is the immediate and the everlasting consequence. Grace proceeds sovereignly according to the will of God, even as a river in all its windings follows its own sweet will. And wherever it comes, it does not wait for life to come to it, but it creates life by its own quickening flow. Oh, that it would pour along our streets and flood our slums! Oh, that it would now come into my house and rise till every chamber were made to swim with it. Lord, let the living water flow to my family and my friends, and let it not pass me by. I hope I have drunk of it already, but I desire to bathe in it, yea, to swim in it. Oh, my Savior, I need life more abundantly. Come to me, I pray thee, till every part of my nature is vividly energetic and intensely active. Living God, I pray thee, fill me with thine own life. I am a poor dry stick. Come and make me so to live, that, like Aaron's rod, I may bud and blossom and bring forth fruit unto thy glory. Quicken me for the sake of my Lord Jesus. Amen.
King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me. Lead me to Calvary. Show me the tomb where thou wast laid, tenderly mourned and angels in robes of light arrayed, guarded thee whilst thou slept. Lest I forget Gethsemane, and lest I forget thine agony, lead me to Calvary.
Mm-hmm.
for thee, even thy cup of grief to share. Thou hast borne all for me, lest I forget Gethsemane, and lest I forget thy name, lest I forget thy love for me.
Do you have a desire to study the Bible, but not really sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures, and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Again, that's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. Continuing his series of studies on the subject of prayer, Dr. Cairns is examining the first petition of the Lord's Prayer, Hallowed be thy name. This is a request with far-reaching implications, which include the desire that God's name be made known among the unsaved, that God will execute judgment against his enemies, and that he will restore and revive his people in the experience of his greatness and power. Now here is Dr. Cairns to conclude this message called, What It Means to Hallow the Lord's Name.
Peter writes to the young Christians, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart. And he goes on to tell them to be ready always to give an answer to him that asks a reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. What is he saying here? He's saying, look, these terrible forces, and they were really terrible forces, the forces of Roman persecution and Jewish connivance with them, are set against you. They are meant to strike terror into your heart so that you will be afraid to be disciples of Christ. You will be afraid to be witnesses of God. You will be afraid to be out there winning souls. You will be afraid of your life. That's the whole purpose of this terror. But Peter says, do not be afraid of their terror. Why? How? Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. When his name is hallowed in your heart, when the fear of God grips your heart, it will eclipse the fear of man. In other words, the fear of God leads you to liberty. The fear of God leads you to victory. The fear of God leads you to purity and power in your life. The fear of man always casts a snare and brings you into bondage. Hallowed be thy name also means, Lord, cause us to honor and to obey thee. You remember what the Lord said to Moses concerning his decision that Moses would not enter the promised land. He gave him the reason. Numbers 27:14, for ye rebelled against my commandment in the desert of Zin, in the strife of the congregation, to sanctify me at the water before their eyes. Notice this carefully. Moses' disobedience, according to the Lord, was a failure to sanctify his name. Disobedience is failure to sanctify the Lord's name. Sanctifying his name is obeying his word. And therefore we pray, when we say this prayer, hallowed be thy name, let us not do anything in disobedience to thee that would profane thy name. That's the Lord's command, you know. Leviticus 22:32 is still in the Bible for every Christian. He says, neither shall ye profane my holy name, but I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am the Lord which hallow you. See how he's using this? Do not profane my name. Do not disobey my word. Do not disregard my commandment. If you do that, you profane me. But I want you to know I will be hallowed. My name must be hallowed. And as we see, in just a moment, it will either be hallowed through my sanctification of your life for godly service, or it will be hallowed in judgment and in chastening. Hallowed be thy name simply means, therefore, Lord, let me not do anything that is unworthy of the great and holy name that we bear. We must walk worthy of our God, of his kingdom, and of his glory. Did not Jesus say in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven? When we're praying, Lord, hallowed be thy name, we're praying, Lord, enable me to obey thee. In all that I know of the will of God, in all that I understand of that word of God, enable me to obey thee, that men through me may glorify thee. And as I've indicated, when we pray this, we must see that we're praying, Lord, execute holy judgment against the enemies of God, whether apostates from the truth or the heathen. I've already quoted from Leviticus chapter 10, but notice the words again in context this time. Nadab and Abihu had fallen into apostasy. Nadab and Abihu had offered false fire before the Lord. I'm not going to take time this morning to expound the full spiritual significance of that. I preached an entire message on it some time back, and I'm not selling tapes, but if you want to understand it fully, you just have to go get that tape. Suffice it to say, this was religious apostasy. And God judged them. And he slew them. Now stop for a minute. I want you to think how seriously God looks on this sin. The nation of Israel was a large assembly of people. They had over 600,000 men of war. Now, by any standards, that must make them a nation of some 2.5, 3, or more million people. Aaron was the high priest. The entire worship of Israel centered around the priestly work of Aaron and his sons. Aaron had 4 sons. And when 2 of them fell into apostasy, God slew them on the spot, leaving just 1 high priest and 2 sons for the whole priestly work of Israel. It's a solemn thing. And when he did so, here's what he said: I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me. I'll be sanctified in them. And if they bring apostasy into my courts, I'll judge them. And that's what he did. When I pray, Lord, hallowed be thy name, I must think of the great apostasy that is so rampant in the world today, that is taking satanic delusion, vicious corruption, and it's exalting it to the very place of gospel truth. It's using the name of Jesus Christ to promote the religion of the devil. That's apostasy. When I look at that and cry, hallowed be thy name, I'm crying, Lord, God, who slew Nadab and Abihu, stand up for the crown rights of King Jesus and the crown glories of his gospel. You think of the heathen city of Zidon. And the Lord said, behold, I am against thee, O Zidon. I'll be glorified in the midst of thee, and they shall know that I am the Lord, when I shall have executed judgments in her, and shall be sanctified in her. Judging hallows the name of God. He says of Gog in Ezekiel 38, verse 16, I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog. In verse 22, I will plead against him with pestilence and blood. I will rain upon him, upon his bands, and upon the many people that are with him, an overflowing rain and great hailstones and fire and brimstone. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself. The Lord is saying, when I hallow my name, I come in judgment. Of Israel, he said in Isaiah 5:16, the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. I want you to understand that when we pray, hallowed be thy name, we're saying, Lord, the glory of thy name is above every other consideration. We are praying a great and expansive prayer. And we are invoking the judgment of the Holy God on all that stands in the way of the glorious expression of his holy greatness and of his grace. In other words, we are praying with the psalmist in the 68th Psalm, let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. One final thing. When we pray, hallowed be thy name, we are praying, Lord, restore and revive thy people in the experience of thy greatness and of thy power. There's a lovely promise in the book of Ezekiel, first in chapter 20 and verse 41. I will accept you with sweet savor when I bring you out from the people and gather you out of the countries wherein you have been scattered, and I will be sanctified in you before the heathen. I said a few minutes ago, there are these two great ways in which the Lord can be sanctified before the world in his professing church. One is in judging, in chastening. The other is in reviving and in restoring. Why will he restore and revive his people? Turn to Ezekiel 36. Verse 21 says, I had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen. Now verse 23. I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified before their eyes, for I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and bring you into your own land. What a glorious promise. When I pray, hallowed be thy name, I am praying, Lord, the greatest way, the full and final way in which you sanctify your name is surely as you visit your people, as you come in a mighty revival. Your people are scattered. They're like Israel of old. They're defeated. They are in Babylon. They hang their harps upon the willows. They have lost their song. They have lost their power. Your church is staggering from one crisis to another. Every man's hand is against us. We can only cry, as did the psalmist David, when wilt thou come unto me? Lord, when will you come? Surely the greatest way to glorify the name of our God is in revival. That's the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Remember, this is our first concern. There is nothing, nothing in all that we can pray that is greater than this. Hallowed be thy name. May the Lord stamp this on our heart. Take it beyond the realm of the mere words of a preacher and stamp it in our heart. May God give us such a burning zeal for the glory of His name that we will be willing for all that's involved in glorifying it, and that especially having our own sins judged and our own wickedness brought to the cross, we will be willing, ready, and eager for a mighty, glorious revival.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.